Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The readings for today from Galatians 5 and Luke 17 take us through the Christian life, really, from the disease of original sin with which we're born, to conversion and justification, to the life of sanctification, the life of thanksgiving that follows, or that sometimes fails to follow, resulting in a tragic return to sin and condemnation. The words of St. Paul to the Galatians, combined with the account of Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers, teach us the importance both of justification by faith and of the renewal that must follow as we walk in step with the Holy Spirit after we've been justified. In the gospel, we meet 10 lepers. Leprosy, as you know, was a disease of the flesh, sores on the skin, but that go deeper than the skin. Raw flesh covering a person's body. Two whole chapters of the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament are dedicated to the diagnosis and treatment of those with leprosy. If the priest declared a person to be unclean because of the signs on his body, of those sores, that person had to live outside the camp of Israel, or in later times outside the city limits. He had to stay away from the temple and away from clean, healthy people. And if anyone came near, he was to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" The 10 lepers in our gospel had heard the word about Jesus and believed in him as the one who could help them. So as he was about to enter a village on his travels, they approached him, but still standing afar off. And instead of calling out, "Unclean, unclean," they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They looked to him, their master, for mercy, for healing. That's a sign of faith. And he gave them what they asked for. "Go, show yourselves to the priests, as the law of Moses required." The priest was the one who had to examine them and pronounce them clean again. Even though they weren't cleansed right there on the spot, they believed in Jesus' word and did as he said and started out on their way to Jerusalem to see the priest. And as they journeyed, they saw that they had been healed. And as they saw, they certainly all rejoiced. But 9 of them kept on going away from Jesus, while one, a foreigner, a Samaritan, turned right around and went back to where Jesus was to fall at his feet and give thanks to him. Now the Holy Spirit was surely tugging at all of them, as he always does in the justified, to love God, to give thanks to God, to recognize his benefits. But that tugging, that pulling, that leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit only saw its effect in 1 out of the 10. Only he came back to fall down at Jesus' feet, to glorify God and to give thanks to Jesus. The rest were eager to get back to their earthly lives, which they had had to abandon for so long, living as lepers. We can understand that eagerness. But at the same time, we'd better take note of Jesus' disappointment with the 9 and his rebuke of them in their absence, which was written not for them, but for us. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now that was a powerful foreshadowing of how things would go in Israel anyway. The people of Israel, many people in Israel, heard Jesus' word and received his miracles and heard him preach. But most of Israel didn't believe, while Gentiles here and Gentiles there, foreigners, did believe and remained with Jesus. A small, tiny percentage of those who believed for a time would remain, while the majority would not remain, while a small, tiny percentage would remain with Jesus. To the one, though, to the one who did come back to give glory to God, Jesus spoke words of life. Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Or again, translated differently, your faith has saved you. The others were saved, healed from the leprosy in their bodies. They were also saved or healed from the sin in their souls, being justified by faith. But the new impulses to love and worship God and to thank Jesus for his benefits were quickly beaten down and pushed down by the impulses of the diseased flesh, that is, the sinful nature, to forget about God and to go back and focus on this life. But to forget Jesus is to leave behind the only one who stands as the mediator between God and men. Whereas to stay with Jesus means a life of thanksgiving and being led by the Spirit of God. The one leper was healed bodily, which represents also justification by faith. And the ongoing healing of his life also began as he walked in the Spirit. As I said earlier, leprosy is a disease of the flesh, and it points to something deeper than bodily sickness. The flesh is the Bible's term, as you heard it again in the epistle today, for the diseased nature with which we're born, sometimes known as original sin. It's the natural lack of true fear of God, true love for God, and true trust in God. And it's the natural covetousness or lusting after sinful things. It's the fountain source of all the actual sins we commit. The disease all by itself is ugly, and it produces ugly things in us and from us. And it makes a person guilty before God. That's what all those Old Testament laws were really trying to convey to the people of Israel. But then the word of Jesus comes to us promising mercy and healing, not just for that inborn disease and corruption, but for all the sins that flow from it too. Forgiveness for free, for Jesus' sake. And as soon as the Holy Spirit brings a person to trust in Jesus for that healing, it's granted. You don't have to work for the healing of forgiveness. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to earn the healing of this forgiveness. You can't anyway. It's given for free, immediately, to all who believe. And then the Holy Spirit immediately continues his work of renewal in the justified. And in that work, Christians do cooperate, do work together with the Holy Spirit, not as equals with him, but as weak creatures, still plagued by a diseased, sinful flesh, but now being continually healed and led and strengthened and coaxed along by the Almighty God. Here's how Luther put it once. This life is not godliness, but growth in godliness. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. The process is not yet finished, but it has begun. This is not the goal, but it is the road. At present, all does not gleam and glitter, but everything is being purified. The one leper who was cleansed and returned to give thanks to Jesus for the healing of his body shows us what that ongoing healing of sanctification and renewal looks like. It looks like thankfulness. It looks like worship and praise of the one who gave himself for us so that by his wounds we might be healed. Healed immediately with the forgiveness of sins before God, and then also healed on an ongoing basis in our lives, throughout our lives, with a new life of obedience toward God. A life that always begins with recognizing God's goodness to us in Christ. The Holy Spirit urges us in today's gospel to be like that one foreigner who gave thanks. At the same time, the same Holy Spirit warns us not to let the process of sanctification stall or be overcome by the allurements of this earthly life. Many who make a good beginning end up throwing it all away because the disease of the flesh is always there, gnawing, nagging, the old man yearning to get out and to take control. He's still there inside each one of us, as he was in all Christians who have gone before us. And if he gets his way, his works are evident. Paul listed some of them in today's epistle: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, lots of other things too, like those things. Those are the works of the flesh, and the warning issued by the apostle in the epistle couldn't be more serious. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice he says, those who practice such things. That doesn't mean that no one who has ever done any of those things has any chance of being saved. What it means is that those who practice such things, gladly or indifferently, without repentance, are not true Christians. Either they never were, or as we see with the 9 lepers, they were for a time, and then let their flesh get the better of them, driving out eventually the Holy Spirit. Can there be healing again for such people? Can there be forgiveness and justification? Yes, the gospel is still going out. Repent and believe the good news. God doesn't give second chances, as we said in today's Sunday school lesson. He gives many more than that. At the same time, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not tempt God. Don't try his patience. That never ended well for the Egyptians or for the Israelites or for anyone. For the penitent, for the forgiven, you're promised the Holy Spirit's help every single day to walk according to the new man, to walk with the Spirit, as he nourishes and strengthens the new man who is, as Paul wrote, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A sample of those good works or of those good virtues are also mentioned in today's epistle: love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the virtues that the Holy Spirit is always tugging at us to pursue. because to have those virtues is what it looks like to have a life that is healed in that ongoing healing of sanctification. If we live in the Spirit, Paul wrote, let us also walk in the Spirit. The 9 lepers in today's gospel show us how not to do that. The 1 leper shows us how it's done, or at least how it begins. It begins with a thankful heart that goes to where Jesus is to give him thanks for his mercy. In other words, it begins with a Eucharist, the Greek word for thanksgiving. And not accidentally, another word for our divine service, our Sunday service, in which we gather where Jesus is, in the preaching of his word and in the administration of his sacraments. And also another word specifically for the blessed meal that Christ has given us to celebrate here, to receive his body and blood for the healing of forgiveness and as the remedy that strengthens us to share in the ongoing healing of sanctification. Sanctification that begins with a Eucharist, with the worship of God, and with the sacrament of thanksgiving. It begins here. Let it continue as you go forth from here today. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.